Hi, I'm Jacob Halbrun, the editor of The National Interest, and my guest today is Zalmay Khalilzad, the former ambassador to both Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as the United Nations. And he is the perfect person today to talk to about the events in the Middle East. Zalmay, what do you think the consequences will be of the Iranian regime launching what appears to be several hundred ballistic missiles at Israel in response to its actions in Lebanon over the past week or so?
The recent developments in the Middle East, particularly the summation of the leadership of Hezbollah, a group that has been very important in advancing Iran's regional agenda, which has become the preeminent regional power and have connectivity from Iran through Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to the Mediterranean, and to play an important role in deterring Israeli attacks against Iran by placing a lot of ballistic and other missiles and systems that could, from Lebanon, adjacent to Israel, threaten Israeli homeland. It has created a situation of uncertainty, concern, fear in Iran. And the question has been for the Iranians the last few days, what should they do? If they don't respond, it could cause internal issues because the hardliner, those who are even more hardline than some who are in the government now, might challenge the system, the government. It could be from the security forces and will undermine their credibility in the region as well, given that they have left their, the perception would be left their proxies to be devastated. But then on the other hand, if they respond big, would they invite a retaliation? And they are quite shaken by the Israeli intelligence on Iran and Iranian proxies hitting Hania in Tehran, what has happened to Nasrallah and some of his key commanders in Lebanon, whether the same might happen to them. So survival or riding out the current crisis has been the priority. But it seems, we are in the middle of what's going on right now. So if the attack doesn't do much damage, if it was signaled already what kind of an attack it would be, and people were prepared to intercept so that they can claim they did something without doing damage, it will have different consequences depending on what the damage is, if any, to Israel.
But the situation is quite volatile.
Indeed.
How great do you think the danger is of escalation, even at its most extreme, a World War I scenario, where you have an Israeli response? Let's say they target the Iranian nuclear facilities. Then we enter into a full-scale war. The United States gets dragged in. We've moved several thousand troops into the area. What's your estimation of where things are headed?
It is my judgment that Iran is not at this stage. It's in a shaken situation, doesn't want escalation, is pleading with the United States to use its influence to restrain, as they see it, Israel, to have a ceasefire, both in Lebanon and in Gaza. But the ball is really in Netanyahu's court. Does he see an opportunity to do more than perhaps he anticipated in the case of Hezbollah? Maybe he knew the vulnerability, or it may have come very late in the game. Some may have existed before, others may have appeared after the initial operations. But in any case, does he feel that he has the advantage right now and he could do more than decimating Hezbollah and achieving his objective in Gaza? And my judgment is that the administration in Washington doesn't want escalation, doesn't want the risks that you enumerated to be actualized. But we are in an election year, and I don't know how much the administration's influence is diminished because the president is not running for office. There will be a new administration. So it's a difficult situation where I think the President Biden doesn't want escalation. Iranians don't want escalation, but they are also would like a ceasefire in Lebanon and in Gaza, and Israel may have a different plan and a different game. And Netanyahu has generally appeared to persist in what he's after. So we really don't know. So the risk is there.
It's true that we don't know, but hawks in Washington and in Israel, including Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who you've talked about, have for a long time been saying that the only way to end this is to go at a minimum for eliminating the Iranian nuclear facilities and perhaps even engaging in regime change in Tehran itself. Do you think that this is an opportune moment from that perspective, or would it be an overreach?
I think regime change would be an overreach, in my judgment. We've seen the consequences of a regime change in complex places like Afghanistan and Iraq. It's a lot tougher, and the consequences, there are unanticipated challenges that arises. Who will take responsibility, assuming you could do it, which is a question mark. But the nuclear issue is, I think, a serious and a different issue. And it could be dealt with through agreement or through military action. Paradoxically, if Iran feels itself vulnerable at the leadership level to strikes, and there is a risk of regime change coming or precipitated from outside, the importance of nuclear weapons may increase. And therefore, as Iranians debate right now inside their decision-making circles, whether however it's given the security circumstances it's being done, they may look at the nuclear option, accelerating it. But they have to also probably worry that if they do accelerate, will they precipitate an attack? And therefore, they would, if they could have their way, may want to get an agreement with the United States, but that may not be practical. But the nuclear issue needs to be focused on because I think it may come into play for a decision that the Iranians may very well be considering right now.
I'd like to ask you about Biden administration policy because in October, President Biden's national security advisor published an interesting essay in Foreign Affairs saying that the Middle East has never been quieter nor more stable. Promptly, a few days later, after the appearance of his essay, October 7th occurred and the entire region was engulfed or is on the road to warfare. How much responsibility do you think Biden administration policy deserves for this turn of events?
Well, you always get the blame and the credit, whether you had a lot to do with it or not. And I'm sure Jake regret you might not say it what he wrote then. Certainly, and the crisis has not gone in the direction that benefits the United States. And we have been shown to have very significant limits to, at least at exercise, American power exercised by this administration, that there has been, shall we say, not a sterling record of success. But it is the last few months of an administration, although it was the last year, people didn't know that the president was not going to run again early on when the crisis started. But over time, its influence is diminished in the calculation of local players. They are looking beyond the current president, establishing contacts for the future, and what signal they receive may depend on their preference in terms of who might get elected or wishful thinking. And therefore, it has been a difficult period for the administration.
Final question. You remember America in 1979? Had studied in the 70s at the University of Chicago with Albert Wolfstetter.
Indeed.
1979 was a pivotal year for the Carter administration.
Right.
Had the seizure of the American embassy in Tehran, which is a national humiliation.
Right.
And then you had the failed rescue of the hostages. Also had the Soviet invasion of Kabul, the country you were born and grew up in Afghanistan.
Right.
Do you think we are possibly at a similar moment today with the United States where this will actually redound to Donald Trump's benefit because you have multiple crises abroad in Ukraine and in the Middle East that have been festering and that have now erupted under the Biden administration's watch?
I think it is not similar to 79. We don't have the risk of a great power war, just was the Cold War, and it turned out towards the final phases of the Cold War, but we didn't know it. In fact, people thought the Soviets had the advantage in the Cold War, and some were talking about a second place for the United States, and it turned out that what the Soviet did was a terrible mistake, and America won the Cold War and emerged as the preeminent world power. And now, however, the situation is that it looks like a world out of control, multiple crises, disorder spreading rather than order. And it could, in my view, although foreign policy generally doesn't play a big role in elections, it's mostly economic and domestic issues, but it could, if it plays any role, it could be beneficial to the former president, because there is a general dissatisfaction with the disorder and the challenges that are spreading.
Well, Zalmay, thank you for these excellent points. I know you have an airplane to catch, and I would not want to take culpability for your missing your important flight. Thank you very much, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Thank you. All the best, Jacob.